after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he shall have power.
Sing after the Holy Ghost has come upon you,
he shall have power. He shall keep you every day. All the way after the Holy Ghost has come upon you,
he
shall have the power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he shall have the power.
Seeking his face, and the flame in one accord, then stirring deep within. Suddenly there came sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind.
It filled all the house where they were sitting, groaning with desire. Then there appeared both the tongues like a flaming fire. They were up here with the Holy Ghost for the heavenly encounter. Then it came down from the upper room. Everyone of them had the power.
Waiting. Praise God. Amen. We have been blessed all day today with Brother Forkpaw's ministry. We appreciate from Voces Unidas and AIM what he did for us. He ministered to us. Our altar was full here. God is using him in a great way. I want you to know that if you have a need tonight, that God has brought you here on purpose to minister to your need, and he has brought Brother Forkpaw to minister the word according to your need. So I want you to take that word of faith and receive what the man of God has brought to us tonight from the throne of God. Brother Forkpaw, please come in Jesus' name.
Glory! Somebody shout hallelujah! Clap your hands in the house of the Lord and be happy. Amen. Glory, glory. There's something special going on in here tonight. You have to be in tune with heaven to know that God is up to something. I said, you got to be in tune with heaven to know that God is up to something. We greet you in that all-powerful name of Jesus. At the sound of thy name, hell trembles. Heaven rejoices. Sickness and disease have to flee. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Somebody ought to be shouting amen. We want to acknowledge the presence of the Honorable Bishop, Bishop Grant. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for this great man of God. Great leadership. Amen. The man with a pastor's heart, a shepherd's heart. We miss Pastor Roy. Amen. He's out somewhere, but we want to acknowledge his good leadership. A wonderful man of God, a good leader. Somebody say amen. And I know behind every good pastor is a wonderful wife. You know, I got to be careful in saying that. I went to a church, and I was saying that behind every good and successful pastor is a wonderful first lady. The pastor was even married. You know, that kind of embarrassed me, so I'm careful how to say it. Amen. But all of you look so very wonderful tonight. Amen. I don't know if you are tired, but I am not tired yet. So, don't just stand there and stare at me or look at me. There's nothing special about me. I'm just an ordinary country jungle boy. Didn't wear shoes until I was 12 years old. Went barefooted throughout my village life. God has just been good to me. Somebody shout amen. So we come to you today from the book of Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. I'm kind of going to preach this message. I preached it here before. A lot of people want to hear it again. They have not heard it, so they want to hear it. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Daniel 3, 23 through 26. But first, Isaiah 43, 1. When you find it, say amen. But now thou say of the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, somebody shout the waters. I will be with thee, then through the rivers. Somebody shout the rivers. That river should be translated a flood. They shall not overflow thee, and when thou walkest through the fire, somebody shout the fire. thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Daniel 3:23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Amen. They answered and said, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Subject tonight simply to say the fourth man is still in the fire. The fourth man is still in the fire. Drop everything you have in your hand except a baby. If you have a baby, don't drop the baby. Drop your iPod, drop your Bibles, drop your notebooks for now. Let's raise our hands towards heaven and fill this house with some real apostolic Pentecostal Holy Ghost noise. I can hear you tonight. Opika masiko. Hokori bababa seke hoto. Hori hori ababa kata imaha. Hekobo sheke hebe. Yelelelebo shikabababa. Come on. Let the Holy Ghost fall. Let it fall upon you. Worship God until you feel. Oh, we thank you, God. Yes, Lord, we thank you. The Holy Ghost is about to baptize someone right now. Somebody's about to get a healing right now. Somebody's about to get a miracle right here in this house. Worship the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus, you may be seated. God bless you. I don't intend to finish this message tonight, and the reason for that is this. You don't have to wait for an altar call. You see, here, not this church, this is a fine church, okay? This is a good church. You got to be careful what I say. Amen. We are so conditioned. We are so scripted. Amen, that the preacher going to get up there and going to preach, and then after he preaches, then he's going to make an altar call, and I'm going to move. If he tries real hard, I might just go to the altar. If he tries real hard, I might just go to the altar, and I might just get a blessing at the altar. That's not what I'm preaching here. Why I am still preaching? Somebody can be getting their healing right now. Come on, talk to me, church. While I'm still preaching, the Holy Ghost could fall on you. What I like about the old folks, like the songs that were being sung about the power and about the fire, you will see people shaking their head. All of the hairdos will go this way and that way. The sisters will triple over their shoes and will fall flat on their backs, and they are worshiping God. They don't care if they have a boyfriend or a husband sitting by them. They were real worshipers, because when God comes down, nothing else matters. Somebody shout glory. Oh my God, tonight I believe the fourth man is still in the fire. Somebody shout amen. Who is the fourth man? In the book of Genesis, he is the seed of a woman. In Exodus, he is our Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our high priest. In Numbers, he is the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he is the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he is our judge and law giver. In Ruth, he is our kingsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is our trusted high priest. In the Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. In Ezra, he is our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he is the rebuilder of the broken down walls of our human lives. In Esther, he is our Mordecai. In Job, he is our day spring from on high and our everlasting redeemer. In Psalms, he is the Lord, our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom. In Song of Solomon, he is our lover and bridegroom. In Isaiah, he is a prince of peace. In Jeremiah, he's the righteous branch. In Lamentation, he is the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he is the fourth man in the fire. He is the fourth man in the fire. Somebody shout amen. You might ask yourself, preacher, if the fourth man is still in the fire, what is he doing there? He's doing what he did before. Amen. He still delivers. He still sets the captive free. For the Lord is thy spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And him whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Somebody clap your hands and get real happy in the Lord. I feel the presence of the fourth man right now in this house. And when he shows up for business. He's here tonight to set somebody free. Amen. He's here tonight to loose somebody from your bondage. Whatever the devil has put on you tonight, the fourth man is the liberator. He came to set. You don't just sit there and think this is just another kind of service. This is a miracle deliverance service. This is a miraculous service. This is a service where the angels have come at the command of Jesus to bless somebody with a package. Raise your hand right now and break the so-called tradition and begin to worship God, because you believe something good is about to happen in the house. Oh, you got to understand tonight that, you know, before I preach this message, I always tell folks to, I give them a warning. Amen. Give you a serious warning tonight, because I don't want to scare you. I want to. One church, not this church, okay? Not this church. I went to one of the churches, and I was preaching. I scared almost everybody to death. They just got scared. Because, you know, we're not used to church like that. We like it when when it's so quiet, when it's so nice, nobody spitting anybody's face. When everybody keep to himself or to herself, so I got in there and I just went wild. Just the Holy Ghost and I just went wild all over the place, scared of people. I don't want to scare you tonight, okay? But when I was a boy, growing up in a small African village, I went to Sunday school always, as I told you before. I didn't understand anything about Sunday school. I didn't know about church, but I kept going to church because everybody was going to church. And as I said before, my Sunday school teacher used to be very nice to me, very kind to all the kids. You went to church, you got a handful of candies. So I just kept going back for more weekend, people go to church for different reasons. As a child, that's what I went for. I went for some candies. That's why Paul met when he said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. Amen. I talked like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. When I became of age, I didn't go to church anymore because everybody in the village was going to church. I went to church not because of the candy. I went to church because I wanted to know God for myself. I wanted to be saved. I wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. I wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name. And that wonderful day, like this praise and worship sang tonight, you ought to have been there when I prayed through, when the Holy Ghost came down and baptized me with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and the joy of heaven filled my soul. It was joy unspeakable and full of glory. Ever since that wonderful day, church has been an exciting place. Hey, church is not a dull, dry, boring place. I don't want to go to that kind of church. If I will go to church, I want to go to a church like Calvary Gospel. And I know not everybody likes it this way. Some people say, I wish we were a little intelligent. Hey, this is not about your brain, bro. This is a heart religion. This is a heart relationship. It bypasses your brain. It bypasses your intellectual ability and get down in your soul. You ought to have been there when I prayed through. Raise your hand and begin to worship God. This church is not a dead, dry, boring place. The church was born in the fire. Oh, I don't know about you tonight, but I feel something is about to happen. So I got excited when I got in church. Church just couldn't leave me. I wanted to be in church on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I couldn't wait for Sunday to come to go to church. How many of you feel tired now already? On those people in the house, we might have to hit the altar tonight and do some repentance. People are tired. But you see, without the Holy Ghost, church can be boring. Man, this house is full of Christians, honest people. And in my excitement, I always felt that church was a place, because I understand what David meant when he said, I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, for in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. How many of you feel the joy of the Lord already? I know you came tired. I know you had to worry about work, but when you think about the joy of the Lord, you just feel like worshiping God, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Somebody shout amen. So I was always in church. One of the first stories I learned was about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But what I couldn't understand, Bishop, and I still don't understand, was why is it that God sometimes allows bad things to happen to good people? I still don't understand, because what makes sense to me is that bad things should happen to bad people and good things should happen to good people. But it doesn't always work like that. When I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, including Daniel. Daniel was such a good man. He prayed 3 times a day unto God with his window open towards Jerusalem. But when trouble came, Daniel was not exempt. The 3 Hebrew boys were not exempt. They were all dragged down into Babylon, into captivity. Why is it that a good God allows bad things to happen to good people? But I've come to realize through my walk with God that when God allows bad things to happen to a good person, it is with the intent of making a good person a better person. Somebody shout amen. I don't know what you're going through tonight. Don't allow the devil to tell you because you are going through some stuff that you have lost the Holy Ghost, that you are no longer walking with God. The reason why you can't feel the Spirit of God is because God has left you. The devil is a liar and the father of it. I came to let you know that you might be living for God. You might be filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. It is possible that you go through some dry places. Walking in the Spirit, but you can't feel anything. You come to church, you love your pastor, you give your tithes and your offering, but you lost a job. You love your wife, you love your children, you try to bring up a godly home, yet trouble comes anyway. I came to let you know that no matter what happens in your walk with God, just keep walking. Just keep walking. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego find themselves in a strange situation. What is it? The more you try to live for God, you still find yourself in a strange situation. Have you ever woken up one morning when you thought everything would be going right and things just fell to pieces? I don't know who I'm ministering to here tonight. Full of the Holy Ghost. 2 for 2, 1 wife, and 2 for 2, 1 husband. Yet you find yourself a single parent and you got to raise the kids by yourself. The children are now looking across the table. Mama is gone. Daddy is gone. You didn't do anything to deserve that. And the devil comes and says, you see, you miss it. God is no longer with you. But the enemy is lying to you. Not only is he a liar, he is the father of lies. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego find themselves in captivity. But God was with them. He went before them. He made a way out of no way. I'm telling you, when you find yourself walking in the valley of the shadow of death, don't quit on God. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Just keep walking. Come on, clap your hands and get happy in the Lord. My God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego find themselves in a strange land. It's possible to be in the will of God and then your life be full of trouble. That's what we call the valley walk. You are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Before I go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you got to also understand that David found himself walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Every one of us will have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. And when you find, I didn't say if you found yourself, when you found yourself walking in the valley of the shadow of death, just keep walking. One step at a time. You don't have to run, just keep walking, because the battle is not to the strong, neither is the race to the swift, but he that overcometh the same shall be saved. Just keep walking. Don't allow anybody to make you to quit. Just keep walking. Tell your neighbor, keep walking. Or talk to your neighbor, say, keep walking. Turn around and talk to somebody. If you don't like them, talk to them. Say, keep walking. Talk to them. If you don't like them, just no. Say, keep walking. The reason why it is important to keep walking is the fact that every valley leads to a mountaintop. You are not going to win by quitting in the valley of the shadow of death. Keep walking. Some of you have been in this valley too long, but you are almost out of the valley. Are you ready for something else? When you are almost to your mountaintop, that's when it gets the toughest. You know why it's so hard now? Because you are almost there. I wish I had a shouting church. I wish I had a happy church. You are almost. You are almost. You are almost out of the valley. Just keep walking. Yes. Somebody show yes in the house. Just keep walking. You are almost out of it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found themselves in this place. Amen. The king put up a golden image and said, everybody should worship the golden image. Amen. Long story short, my God, when they look around, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are still standing. Isn't it funny that the more you stand for God, the more trouble you get in? That's because God is dealing with you. He is putting you through a test. Some people like me, they don't like tests. They love testimonies. They just don't like the test part. When I was in school, in the second grade, I used to love the second grade because everything was easy. If you don't know the answer, just guess. A, B, C, D, circle one. Shh. I was gone. You know, just I love that. And then we went from the third grade to the fourth grade. The fourth grade wasn't too bad. When we got to the fifth grade, things started getting a little tough. Because to graduate from the fifth grade to the sixth grade and then go to middle school, like in Liberia, you are not going to get a fourth grade test to go to junior high. The test becomes just a little tougher, tougher, tougher. The home assignment becomes multiplied, and you school was no longer fun. What I want to tell this church here tonight is God is getting ready to promote somebody, and the test is going to get a little tougher, but don't give up, because the test will come before the promotion. After the test is over, you are going to have a promotion. He's going to raise you and make you the head, not the tail. He's going to make you to be above continuously. But you got to pass the test. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are now standing before the king. And the king says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's been reported that you are not bound to my God. And they said, oh, king, listen to us. It's not even convenient for us to talk to you. We're not careful to talk to you, because the God that we serve is able. Somebody shout, he's able. To deliver us from the fiery furnace and to deliver us from your hand. But even if he chooses not to deliver us, we are still not going to bow. You know, in our walk with God, there are just some things that cannot be negotiated. Our minds are made up. We are standing regardless of the fact that everybody's bowing. We are still standing. Fire is hit us seven times, but the three Hebrews are still standing. Some of you good people, the Holy Ghost is ministering to me tonight. You have done everything right, but the fire of persecution continues to burn hotter and hotter. Let me just give you a secret tonight. This is just a test. Y'all don't want to shout with me tonight. It might be tough, but it's just a test. The devil might have bound you hands and feet and is getting ready to cast you into the fiery furnace, but it's just a test. A teacher gave a funny test back home. 10 questions. The instruction was, don't answer any question until you are read through the entire test. Question number one. A female dog is called what? You know, and all the answers were there. Blank. Why did Christmas come? So some people did not read the instruction because they read 10 questions, simple questions. So they're answering all of the questions. And when they came to question number 10, it was just simply sign your name and turn in the paper. And the whole class flunked. It was a test on which you did nothing. You should do nothing. Just sign your name. Could it just be that some of you got the simplest test before you tonight, and you are killing yourself over it? This is just... yes, the fire is burning, but it's just a test. Bound them hands and feet. And the Bible says heaven is standing so silent. Well, I don't know about you. When I get in trouble, I just want for God to drop everything. Stop running the universe. Get Gabriel. Get Michael with the sword. Let him come running down to me and just kill all of my enemies, cut their heads, chop off them. When I'm in trouble, I need some help. Heaven is silent. The three Hebrews are praying, but it seems like nothing is happening. You know, in that hour, I want to minister to somebody here tonight. In that hour, the devil comes to you and says, now, where is the God that you are serving? If you are so full of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, baptized in Jesus' name, how come you lost your job? How come the bills continue to come in? How come your loved one is sick? How come your loved one left you? That's what the devil does. He's the constant accuser of the brethren. Amen. That's what he does. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are standing, and heaven is silent. You know, don't ever mistake God's silence for his absence. Just because he's silent doesn't mean he's absent. God could be working on your behalf right now, because you see, God works in silence. He's working right now in somebody's life. He's performing a miracle. He's working on your behalf. You might not hear anything. You might not see anything, but he's working. Tell your neighbor, he's working. God is working on your behalf. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, victory shall be mine. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are cast into the lake of fire bodily. Heaven is still silent. So the old king is sitting there and saying, today I'm going to watch 3 Hebrews die. It's so funny. The devil thinks that he got it all figured out. When you're going to die, when you're going to get sick, the devil doesn't really have the final say. I want to push to the church, and I'm hurrying. But some of you sit there as if though you know. The devil couldn't kill you if he wanted to. No. He doesn't have the keys anymore. One time he had the keys until Jesus died, was buried, went to Hades, and commanded the keys out of his hand. Amen. When he saw Jesus coming, Jesus is saying, lift up your head, O ye gates, and let them of ye everlasting door, and let the King of glory come in. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord of hosts, strong in battle. And Jesus demanded the keys to hell and the grave. And Jesus came forth holding the keys in his hand. When John saw him on the island of Patmos, he said unto John, I am he that liveth and was dead. I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and hell and the grave. The devil can kill you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down bound to the midst of the fiery furnace. Instead of falling on their backs, they landed on their feet. What I like about resilient people, they don't lie down to die. Y'all don't want to preach at me. When you think you're going to eliminate them, you got a whole piece of job on your hand. Because when God is with you, you like that just man, you can fall 7 times, you're going to rise again. Do not rejoice against me, all my enemies, for when I fall, I shall rise again. Somebody said, I shall rise. My God, let me tell you tonight, no, you are not going to die. The devil is a liar. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of God. The devil will not kill you. Just because he threw you into a fiery furnace, just because he's punishing you, doesn't mean God is punishing. The devil might be punishing you, but God is preparing you. Hallelujah. Sister, he's preparing, not punishing. He's not trying to destroy you. He's developing you. I wish I had a shouting church. I wish I had a helper. He's preparing you. He's preparing you for promotion. He's preparing. He's fixing to lift you up. He's fixing to bless you with a blessing that you cannot contain. He's about to set you on high. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. When they landed at the bottom of the fiery furnace, you know when the world will see Christ in you? When you're in your worst trial. At the bottom of your fiery furnace, Christ's image forms in you. When you're supposed to be cursing, you are praising God. When you're supposed to be on your back, you are standing on your feet. When you're supposed to be giving up, you are in church every resource. I don't know who I'm talking to here. Come on. When the world see you in your worst condition and you letting the light of God shine, they're going to see Christ in you. It was in the fiery furnace that all Nebuchadnezzar's eyes opened. And he said, wait a minute. Then we cast three men bound in the fiery furnace. He said, yes, O king. He said, but I see four men and they are loose. They are walking. Amen. And the form of the fourth man is like unto, it's like the Son of God. And you know how King Nebuchadnezzar came forth and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth. And the Bible said the three Hebrews came walking out of the fire. That's not how they went in. They went in hand tied, feet tied. That's what I like about the Pentecostal church. It doesn't matter how you come here. What matters is how you're going to leave tonight. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They came walking out. You might have come in here tonight depressed, oppressed, compressed by the devil. But when you leave this place, you're going to be shouting glory, hallelujah. Since I lay my burden down, I feel happy, so very happy. Since I lay my burden, it doesn't matter how you came here. It doesn't matter, the devil have placed you in a fiery furnace. The fourth man loosed them and they came walking out. But you know, I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The question I want to ask tonight as I fix the clothes, if the fourth man, or if the king saw three or four men loose and walking in the midst of the fire, and he called out three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they came walking out of the fire. Tell me, brothers and sisters, what happened to the fourth man? He is still in the fire. You know, when we're singing about the fire, some of you good people, you say, I got a fire. I got a fire. To be very honest, some of you are looking funny. I got a fire. Fire should have been mambo. When fire meets fire, you see, Jesus is described in the book of Revelation. The Bible says his eyes were like flame of fire. His feet were burning like in furnace, because Jesus himself is a consuming fire. So when fire meets fire, oh, y'all don't want to preach with me tonight. You can have the fire and sit down on your seat. You can have the fire and keep quiet. Raise your hand therefore, man. Hey, hey, hey. The reason why the fourth man did not leave the fire is because he knew one day you and I would get in our fiery furnace. Everybody doesn't have the same kind of fiery furnace. You might not go down to Babylon, but when you lose a job, and the bills continue to come in, that's a fiery furnace. It seems like when you don't have a job, that's when all the bills show up. Sometimes I don't even like to check the mailbox full of bills. That's a fiery furnace. And when your relationship goes sour, that's a fiery furnace. Or when you lose your health, that's a fiery furnace. So the fourth man did not leave the fire. How do you know this, preacher? Because I met him there in closing tonight. I have met the fourth. I didn't say the fourth man met me in the fire because he never left in the first place. My wife and I were caught up in a labyrinth, several crises. We are running from the city that, you know, the bombs were dropping. People were dying. I'm talking about thousands and thousands of people are dying. We are running for dear life. We came out of our houses that morning with just a clothes on our backs. America, you better continue to thank God for the freedom you are enjoying. You don't ever appreciate peace and freedom until you lose it. When we lost our freedom, we had a rebel soldiers encroaching on us with AK-47, no law and order. They would shoot you just for fun. So we ran out of our homes. Just a short way, we began to come across dead bodies, decomposed bodies, freshly killed body. They grabbed a man right by me, and before the man could say anything, they shot him several times. He fell down dead. We came to a place. The rebel saw us to stand in line. They asked him, what's your name? What's your tribe? Who do you work for? Long story short, I'm standing by my wife. My wife is expecting a child. My assumption was if I went real close to my wife, since she was pregnant, maybe they will have mercy on me. It didn't work. In fact, the rebel soldier with the AK-47 looked at me in the face and said, you, come. And I said, Who? He said, you come out of the line. We are going to kill you now. To be obedient, I stepped out of the line. And my wife broke down and started crying and said, oh, please don't kill him. He's my husband. He's not a soldier. He doesn't work for the government. He's a man of God. He's a pastor. And the rebel soldier said, we don't believe you, woman. Please leave. Go. Amen. And we're going to kill this man. And my wife took a few steps, and she's hiding behind the bushes, and she's praying and said, oh, God. But right before her, the rebels told me to take off my shirt, take off my shoes, take off my socks. She broke down and said, I've lost him. He's not coming back. Normally, when the rebel soldiers undressed you, it meant only one thing. You aren't coming back. That led me to execution ground, and I'm standing before the rebels with AK-47 all around me. And they said, man, you're going to die today. Who are you? And I'm trying to defend myself. You know, in this life, there are three voices that will speak to you. God will speak to you. The devil will speak to you. And you will speak to you. I don't know about you. I find myself talking to myself. I think it comes with age. When I'm driving down the road, you know, and I do something dumb, I say, come on, Edwin, that was dumb. You shouldn't have done that. I'm talking. There's nobody in the car. I'm just talking to myself. Drop a thing. I said, come on. Yeah, your hands are getting weak. You're getting, oh, Edwin. Nobody's in the, nobody's. I just stuck. But so the devil started speaking to me and said, Mr. Preacher, Mr. One God Preacher, you're going to die here today. Now, where is the God you've been talking about? Where's the Jesus you've been preaching about? He's not going to show up. You are going to die here by yourself. And then God spoke to me. Amen. And he said, don't give up. Just keep talking. Sometimes we as Christians, we give up too soon. But a voice says, just keep talking. Hang on, because help is on the way. Keep hanging on. Don't give up. Then I got enough courage. I started talking to myself and said, I shall not die, but live and to declare the goodness of God. You see, when you die and go to your grave, you can't praise God, but you can praise Him now while you are alive. And I promised the Lord I wasn't going to die, but I was going to live and declare the goodness of God. So the rebels finally gave up. One of them said to the bunch of them and said, what should we do with this man? And one of them said, just go ahead and shoot him. Before they could lift up the AK-47 rifle, something happened, because I'm standing there and I'm wondering, God, where are you? And heaven was silent. But just before execution, something strange happened. A man showed up from nowhere. I don't know his name. I can't describe him. I've never seen any part of Liberia before. But this man stepped in and he told the rebels, don't shoot yet. You got to know who rebels are. They are so stubborn. They don't listen to anybody. Well, that's why they're called rebels. Listen to anybody. But this one halted to stop the execution momentarily. And the man turned around to me and said, who are you? What's your name? And I said, I'm Pastor Edwin Fopper. I pastor a church. He said, do you have an ID on you? I said, oh, yes. I might have lost a shirt. I might have lost a pair of socks. I might have lost a pair of shoes. But I got my identity. Don't you ever lose your apostolic identity. I don't care what the devil puts you, always maintain your identity. When he saw my ID card, he turned around to the rebels and said, don't shoot this man. This is a man of God. Leave him. He turned around and said, man, take your clothes, take your socks, take your shoes and put them on. The exact words the angels told Peter. I reached down nervously and I grabbed my clothes. You say, preacher, did you take time to dress up and look decent? You've got to be kidding me. And I grabbed my clothes and ran down the valley. One of the rebels took an AK-47 and shot several rounds all around me. The bullets came flying over me, under me, on the side. How do you mess with an AK-47? 47 rounds per minute, but I kept running. When my wife heard the sounds of the gun, she broke loose from her hiding place. She's running towards me, and I'm running towards her. We came face to face. I said, honey, where in the world are you going? She said, when I heard the sounds of the gun, only one thing came to my mind, that you have been killed, and I was coming to see your dead body. So I will tell your children in the future that I know where your daddy died. But while we are running through the valley, and I look at my wife, I say, oh, no, the God that we serve is better than that. He's an on-time God. He may not come when you want him, but when you need him, he will surely show. He's an on time God. I'm closing, but you know what? When you have been that close to death, when you have been through the valley of the shadow of death, you can worship like a normal person. So you want to know the secret to this whole thing. I am not normal. That's why it's easy to do that. The way people worship tells their story. And I know some of you wonderful people, you've really never been there yet. And that's no offense to you. That's fine. Just worship God in your nice little way. Just. Because you see, the size of your worship tells the size of your miracle. You see, I shouldn't even be here. I should have been dead. July 10, 1990, I should have been dead. And for God to come and lift me up from where, amen, the devil put me, and I could hear the king say, "You are free, go." I can't be in church and be a nice little worshiper. You know, I'm not trying to make fun of people. Some people say, "Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah." Just be a nice Christian. Amen. They're all the normal worshipers. Give some of us the chance. So when you are in church and somebody's getting louder and louder and louder, don't be quick to condemn them until you know their story. When I think about the goodness of Jesus, where he brought me from, I should have died, but he rescued me. See where the Lord brought me from. Hey. Hey, hey, hey. You don't know my story. Well, here's the second part of the story. I'm going to come by the next time and preach it. But my wife and I were captured by the sin rebels and cast into jail. We went to jail. My wife sitting by me, bro. I'm sitting up by my wife in the very dark African cell. Then, when we look in the dark cell, there was another man. It was an elderly man. So my wife, the elderly man, and I were three. Then all of a sudden, a man showed up from nowhere, the fourth person. And he came to me, bro, and asked the same question. "Who are you?" "I'm Pastor Edwin," I'll make sure I add my title, "Pastor Edwin Fopper. I pastor two churches in this town." "What are you in jail?" "Well, they put us in jail this afternoon, me and my wife," and the man said, "Is that your wife?" I said, "Yes." "And they put two of you in jail, having done nothing?" I said, we did nothing, sir. They just, you know, I'm trying to feel sorry for myself now, you know. Pity party. Then the man got real mad and said, "That's not right. How can they cast a man and his wife in jail who have committed no crime?" He said, "You know what?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "I'm going to cause a great commotion in this place. I'm going to kick and scream. I'm going to do everything to get the attention of the authority. And when they come and get me out of this place, I'm going to command. I'm going to demand your unconditional release." Deep down in my heart, I made sure I didn't say loud enough in my heart. I said, "How can a prisoner talk like this?" I assumed the man was a prisoner. And sure enough, that man went to a rage. He's kicking and screaming and hollering at the top of his lungs. And some of the authorities said, "Who's making all that noise?" He said, "I'm the one. Get the key and come and unlock this gate." How will a prisoner demand the authority to open the gate and to grab the bunch of keys without even knowing what they came and unlocked the gate? That man went marching into the office and he looked at the man sitting at the desk and said, "You had the audacity to lock a man of God and his wife in jail. I want you to release them now." What? This jailer had his AK-47 right by him. He had a baby by him. He could have just simply grabbed it and put that man to sleep. But without even realizing, he grabbed a bunch of keys from his desk, bro, and he went walking towards the gate, and he unlocked the gate. Amen. And my wife and I sitting there, and I told the second man, I said, hey, bro, let's go. It's jailbreak time. Let's get out of here. We got out of the jail, amen. By this time, the church members, including my children, were all around the church now because of our release. They are rejoicing. They are singing. They are happy. Amen. I joined the celebration. It was broad day, bro. And the Lord told me to turn around and thank this gentleman who's supposed to have been standing right behind me. Thank him for helping to release you in jail. I turned around and the man had vanished away. That four man went to jail for me. He showed up in the jail cell. I don't care, and I'm closing. I don't care where the devil have put you tonight. The four men will show up on your behalf. It could be a fiery furnace. It could be a divorce. It could be a lack of job. The four men will show up. It could be a bad health. He will go to the hospital for you. He will go to the jail for you. He will find you wherever you are. He didn't leave. The fiery furnace, stand to your feet right now. I feel something. The musicians are taking their position tonight. The musicians are coming tonight. Oh, I feel something here tonight. Lift up your hands in this place. What is your fiery furnace? What is your fiery furnace? Something is about to happen tonight. The liberator is in the house. I hear the voice of another king. He's not King Nebuchadnezzar. I hear the voice of Jesus saying, come forth, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Come out of your fiery furnace. Come out of your sickness. Come out of your depression. The king is calling you. Oh, Baba, I'm going to open this altar tonight. By walking to this altar, I know this is the third altar call, but just leave your seat tonight. Whatever furnace the devil has put you into, just walk. You are coming out. Oh, I'm talking to the church. I say, you are coming out of that furnace. You are not going to die in that furnace. You are coming out. You are not gonna die enough. I'm talking to everybody. Move. Move from your seat. Move. Whatever fiery furnace the enemy have put you in, the liberator is in the house. Raise your hands in the presence of the Lord and begin to praise him. You are loose. You are going to walk out free, alas. Free, alas. Praise God Almighty. Free, alas. Freedom in the house. There's freedom in the house. There's freedom. There's freedom. There's freedom. There's freedom. Come out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come forth. Close your eyes and begin to pray now. Find somebody to pray with. It's liberation time. It's freedom time. I wish I had a praying church now. Lay your hand on somebody right now. Yamamba baba shatalabaha. Hororobo shakatalabaha yabahaya. Yenelebo, you are coming out. Come out of your fiery furnace. Yes, 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 Lord. Yes, Lord. You came to set the gap is freed. Ah, yes, Lord. You want the Holy Ghost tonight? That's when I'm speaking in tongues. Shamama basta torobo. You can have your freedom tonight. Yama baba yama shatala bahaya. Ororu yabakatala laba shatala bahaya ba. Analala basatala bakatala bashatala baha. Do something for me. Do something. Do something. Do something. Sing a song or something. Ya baba kaya mashatala. Glory, 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 glory. Come on, church, glory, glory. Come forth. Come out of your fire for now. He kumama baba baba ya mashatala bahaya. He did a bo shatala bahaya. Yes, yes. He kumaha baba baba ya mashatala bahaya. You are coming out. You are coming out. Yamasa kori habahatata. Hele lebo kote lebo shatala bahaha. Yala la la bakatala la bashatala la bahatala bahashatala ba. Hele lebo shikatala la bahatala la bashatala bahaya ba. Yana la 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 bashakatala la bahataya bahaya. Hororo bo shikete lebo shikala ba. Yes, yes, yes. You are coming out. You are coming out. You are coming out. Come out of your fiery furnace. Oh, la 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 Hand loose, feet loose. Oh God. Aba baba ya bashata la bahaya. Alala la bashata la bahaya.
So patient.
Glory, glory, glory.
So
I declare freedom in this house today.
So merciful.
Upon the authority of God's word.
So wonderful.
Your hands are loose. Your feet are loose.
You see me.
You are healed by the stripes.
Every move.
Of the Lamb of God. You let me sing
to you. Lord, I know you are for me. I know you are for me. I know you will never forsake.
Your fear tonight. Shababa honoromo city.